John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. This is the word of the Lord. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Father, we do come to give you praise and glory on this great day that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you lift our eyes to see him? Would you help me to communicate faithfully your word? And would you have us leave this morning worshiping that you have provided the way, the truth, and the life, that it's possible to know you, and it's all through Jesus. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Amen. We'll go ahead and have a seat. Merry Christmas to everyone. Yes, I am not wearing pajamas this morning, and I blame Tim Harton. I'm going to call him out. He told me, he said I would wear PJs, but he never bought me PJs. And so, but then if he bought them, I would have had to wear them. I don't think I would have worn them. Maybe not to preach, at least. But it's so great to be with you this morning. Thanks for being here. It's both wonderful to be able to gather together as the family of God on Christmas. It doesn't happen often, but what a joy it is. But it's also hard, right, to leave home, especially the little kids around, having fun, maybe opening some presents. It can be hard to walk away from that and come to church. So I'm so glad you're here. I would love to know, especially kids, I would love to know, but adults too, if you did presents this morning, what you got. And so I just want you to tell me, right? At count of three, I want you to yell out a present that you got this morning. We all want to know. I want to know. Okay? Adults, you can do this too. Even if it was a pair of socks, like if it's your favorite, like tell me. I'd love to know. Okay? Ready? One, two, three. Whoa, that's awesome. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Well, pretty soon after we talk about Jesus and we celebrate Jesus, we'll get to go back home with family, with friends, and continue to play with all our fun favorite toys or gifts that we got this morning. Well, it is. It's really a delight to be here. We've been talking about Jesus the last few weeks and these statements that Jesus made about himself, that he is, I am. And we've talked about many of them, even last night, that he is the resurrection and the life. And so how appropriate on the day we celebrate his birth. A birthday is all about the person that we celebrate. And so today is all about Jesus. And what a great way to get together to talk about Jesus. And one more statement that he made about himself, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. So we're going to talk about what that means. We're going to first, though, set the stage that this teaching is really meant to comfort the disciples. They're troubled, and it's meant to comfort them. And then I want to look at that exclusive claim that no one comes to the Father. No one gets to know God except through Jesus. And then in the end, we'll talk about what it means that he is the way, the truth, and the life. But first, in the context of this, Jesus starts in verse 1 and he says to the disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. Why are they troubled? Well, here's what's happened just previously in John. In chapter 12, Jesus has come into Jerusalem. He's been making his way towards Jerusalem in his whole ministry because Jerusalem is the place he's going to die on the cross. He's going to go to the cross, suffer and die, taking on sin upon himself, paying for the sin of those who will trust in him. And then 3 days later, he will be raised to life, conquering sin and death, giving new life to anybody. They will be born again. in new relationship, forgiven and righteous in God's sight. So he's on his way to that. He's been telling his disciples this is going to happen, and they don't always understand what's going on. And then as they get into Jerusalem, he washes the disciples' feet. But as he does that, he says, one of you is going to betray me. One of you is going to turn me in. You imagine, no, not one of us. And it turns out that Judas is the one. That Judas turns him in and leads to his arrest, ultimately to his crucifixion. And then after that, he tells Peter, hey, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. So it's in the context of Jesus going to Jerusalem to go to the cross that Judas has betrayed him and that Peter is going to deny him. It's troubling. It's difficult. They're confused. They're scared. They're worried about what's going to come. Just imagine what's going in their hearts. And Jesus wants them, though, in the midst of all of that, to not be troubled, to find comfort. And so what he's going to do is he's going to give them this good news about what's to come down the road. He doesn't promise a smooth path, but in the end, he says, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go to my Father's house, which is another way to say I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to get a room ready for you. I'm going to prepare a room for you, prepare a place for you. And one day I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you with me and bring you into your room with God the Father. Now, some of you travel a lot. Some of you don't travel that much. I don't really travel as much anymore. But when I travel, when I would go away somewhere, that first night or two, I never really slept that well. Especially if I'm away from my family, I'm just wondering what's going on with him. And I'm not in a new bed, new comforter, new pillows. I just don't sleep very well. Maybe you're like that. But then there's the moment that you come home. You've been away for a while, and that first night back home, where you get into your bed, and you get under your comforter, your covers, with your pillow, and it's the perfect temperature, cold or hot, depending on who you are, right? And you just slide in, and oh, just rest. You just find this rest, right? There's something about our place, our room, our bed, that brings us such comfort. When we're away, we may be a little restless and longing for getting home. And it's that promise of we will get home. You'll get back into your bed that comforts us. This travel will end. Well, I think that's what Jesus is trying to say. He's not promising we're going to have these great beds in heaven. That's not the point. But he's saying there's going to be this room for you. I'm making room for you. And you're not home yet, but one day you're going to come home. And the rest you might feel when you come into your own house at night or after traveling, it pales in comparison to the comfort and the rest that you're about to get when I come back to bring you home. The path is going to be difficult for the disciples. They're going to go through some suffering, some real challenges, some painful moments. Peter's even going to deny him. But Jesus will restore Peter, and he's trying to help all of his disciples in the midst of this troubling situation find rest and comfort in the promise that he is preparing a place for them. He's getting it ready, even right now. And so there's a promise for us if we ever find ourselves troubled with the way of the world. Troubled over our own sin, our own struggles, the way we treat other people, the doubts we may have. If we ever find ourselves in that kind of situation, struggling along the path of following Jesus, then we can be reminded of this promise that Jesus made to his disciples and to us. That he's gone to prepare a room, a place in God's house. And he is going to come back again. This is supposed to be comforting to the disciples. I hope it's comforting to you that no matter what life brings your way, no matter what struggles you present in your own life, that one day, because of what Christ has done, you will be with him in heaven with God our Father as well. That should bring some comfort to us, shouldn't it? But now the disciples are still not quite there. They're not quite grasping what is going on. They don't fully understand. And when you don't understand, what do? You ask questions. Right? Jesus invites questions. Kids, especially if you don't understand when you read the Bible, which happens to all of us, ask questions. Ask questions of God, of your parents, of teachers. Ask questions. So Thomas, the good question asker in verse 5, he says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we even know the way to where you're going? It's a great question. Jesus doesn't rebuke him for it. He invites it. But he's trying to help Thomas and the rest of the guys know, look, you know, you've seen, because you've seen me. You understand, but not fully yet. And so in the midst of that question, Jesus says, you want to know the way? Well, I'm the way. I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And that room that I'm preparing, the only way to get to that room, the only way to get home is going to be through me. That's where you're going, and I'm the way to get there. All of that is meant to be this comfort. This comfort. See, so many people celebrate Christmas as this wonderful time, this baby. It brings warm, fuzzy memories of babies, except for all the sleepless nights, right? I mean, that's hard. But sweet baby Jesus, and we give gifts in honor of his birth, a gift that God has given us. But all of that is pointing forward to his second return, the second time he comes, when he's going to bring those who know him home to be with him. It's such a beautiful promise. It's such a beautiful promise. If we are ever troubled, this is an invitation to look ahead and to remember that Jesus, even right now, if you're in him, if you know him, then he's preparing a place for you. And one day, he's going to bring you home. One day, he's going to bring you home. And it will be so much better than getting into your own bed. But there's a reality of this promise. There's only one way to get there. There's only one path to get to this room that's being prepared. And Jesus makes this very exclusive claim, the second half of verse 6. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is a statement that many in our world today really would not like or agree with. That Jesus makes this exclusive, I'm the only way, it's only through me that you can be with God in this place I'm preparing for you. I think many people today, and you may have encountered this if you've talked to people about spiritual things or religious things, you say Jesus is the only way to know God. And they go, well, I'm not sure he meant it like that exclusive. Didn't he just mean that he's one way? That maybe he's the way for Christians, but there's lots of other ways for people that are sincere in their religious beliefs or morality, that there's lots of paths to get to God in the end. That's probably what Jesus really meant. Or other people say, you know, I think no matter what you believe, in the end, everybody's going to be with God. Everybody's going to be with God. Now, there's different ways you could describe some of these things. One could be called inclusivism, where all the different religious paths lead to the same place. All get included. Doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter the path you're taking, the fervency of your religion. As long as you're somewhat sincere and believing something, in the end, you're going to make it to heaven. Or the other would be the universalism, where everybody, no matter what, maybe only the worst of the worst, but even then, in the end, the phrase would be love wins. And the love of God will overcome all wrong, and everyone will be in heaven with God. Those are some of the popular beliefs in the world today. But those even creep into the church, into those who identify themselves as Christians. Some of you may have seen this survey, that the results of the survey called the State of Theology, that comes out every year. Ligonier Ministries does it. And it gives the snapshot of Americans, and you can filter it. You can find it online and filter all the different people and what they said to all these questions. Well, there's a way you can filter it to have those that identify in different types of Christian faith. Of those surveyed, 50% of those categorized under some kind of Christian religion believe that God accepts worship of all religions. 50%. That's that inclusivism. Every religion, all of them are going to be included. God accepts them all and will bring them home. 20% of those people strongly agree that religious belief is a matter of personal opinion and not objective truth. So if there's no objective truth about religious belief, then Jesus didn't really mean what he said. He meant something totally different. 49% of those people agree that the only way to receive the free gift of salvation is to trust in Jesus alone. Only half of those who identify some sort of Christian faith believe that Jesus is the only way to know God. But Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. And so we can't take it and twist it because it doesn't settle with us well. We have to actually ask, like Jesus did in our text from last night, do you believe? Do you believe that I am the only way to know God? That there's not lots of paths to God. There's not, no matter what happens in the end, everybody gets there. Do you believe that to know the Father, know the one who created us, that there is only one way? We're challenged when Jesus says this. But how can we trust him? How can we trust that Jesus is the only way? Well, it's because of who Jesus is and who he has revealed himself to be. Look down in verse 7. Jesus says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Then later in verse 9, he says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And in verse 10, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. All of this Jesus is saying is when you see me, you see the Father. When you hear me, you hear the Father. I and the Father are one. We are both God. Now, it's a complex understanding, but Jesus is saying, even when I was born, yes, I was truly human. I was a boy. I was a man. But I'm also God. And when you see me, when you hear me, you are seeing the Father. You are seeing God in the flesh, and he comes with the authority then to say, there's only one way. There's only through Jesus that you can know God. That's why we can trust him, because of who Jesus is. But it's exclusive. It's exclusive. I mean, this is what makes Christmas so miraculous, is that Jesus came. The promised Messiah, he came so that there would be a way to know God. See, the Bible teaches that we were created to know God. We were created to be in a relationship with God, but we sinned against him. We did what was wrong. Maybe even this morning, as some of you were trying to put together a present, you sinned in your heart because it wasn't working. You were so frustrated with it. Maybe you didn't get what you wanted this morning, and so you were not happy with your parents or grandparents. Maybe there's a little bit of sin in there. We mistreated somebody because we got up too early this morning, right? Couldn't we have slept in? See, sin is all around us. We know it. When we're honest with ourselves, we know. And it's that sin that has separated us from God. But the miracle is, where there was no opportunity for us to ever be with God because we sinned, we rebelled against him, he provided Jesus. And it's through him that it is possible to know the Father. The one we were made to know, but we rebelled against, we're separated from. Now it's possible to know him. Yes, it's exclusive. There's only one way. But praise God that there is a way. So that's what I want to look at here at the end. This exclusive claim. But God sent Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, we often use those in conversations with other people. We share the gospel and say, look, there's only one way, and it's Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You need to trust him. And that's good. Use that in your conversations with non-Christian friends, with family members. It's good. Talk about the exclusive claim of Jesus. Wrestle through that. But this morning, I want us to just look at it from a little bit different angle. I want us to look at it from the perspective that when we were hopeless, God provided hope. When we had no way to be able to know God, he provided a way through Jesus. First, that Jesus is the way. How many of you are hikers? Anybody out there a hiker? People like to hike? Yeah. I like to stroll around like Pandapus Pond. That's like, there's a good hike for me. Anybody in that world? That's my kind of world right there, right? Now, when you go hike, which I have not done a whole lot of, but when you go hike, you show up to the trailhead, you have a choice. Usually there's a sign with an arrow pointing to the path you're supposed to take, and it'll tell you how long it's going to take. And if you follow that, then you'll get to your destination, and it's really good. But you have a choice when you get there, don't you? You could follow that path, or you could say, that seems like a long way around. That doesn't seem as exciting. I mean, who are they to tell me how I'm supposed to go hiking? And you could kind of take this guess and go, I think the path goes that, but I think the end result's over there. And you could just trudge into the woods and go for it. You could just walk right in and hope, maybe, I think I'll get there. I'll get to the end. But see, the problem is in spiritual things, there's no other way to get to the end. There's no other way to get to the room, to get to the destination that Jesus is preparing, except through him, because he is the way. And he says, you want to get there? You want to get to that comfort? Then you have to choose to follow me as the way. We don't know all the twists and turns it's going to take. We don't know all the challenges that will come before us. We can't see around every turn of the path of the way. But Jesus says, if you follow me, you are on the way. You're on the way to know God and to be with God. I mean, this is incredible. When there should not have been a way for us, God provided a way. Jesus as the way is God's grace to us. Because left to ourselves, we had no hope. We had no way. See, it wasn't that we would look at the path and start to follow it and just wander off. That happens sometimes. But no, when we're in our sin, we turn the opposite way and say, I don't want that path. I'm going to make my own. I'm going to create my own way to get there. But Jesus says, no one comes to the Father but through me, and I am the way. Our sin leaves us undeserving of any way to know God. But God, in his love and his grace and his mercy, he made a way by sending Jesus, who is the way. And he doesn't just show us the way. He is the way. And so there's an invitation to follow him. Are you following him? Really following Jesus? Seeing everything that he said in the word and following him. He is the way. But he's also the truth. He's also the truth. Back to Christmas gifts. Some of you are direction followers, aren't you? You get a gift, you pull out the instructions, and you follow it step by step by step. Others of you, yeah, I see your faces, Who needs those? We can figure it out. Unless you try to figure out like an IKEA chair. Then you got no chance, right? I mean, some things, it's impossible. You need the directions, right? Why are the instructions on these gifts so important? I mean, we even had a new alarm clock in our house that we had. Get the instructions out this morning. We got to figure this thing out, right? But why are the instructions so helpful? Why are they even there? Well, because somebody created this thing, whatever it would be. And they know the purpose for which this thing exists, why they created it. And they want it to be used in the manner in which they created it to be used. And to help us, who have no idea how to build furniture or put together a toy, they say, we're going to show you how to do this. We're going to reveal to you the steps to take so that you can enjoy this gift that was given to you. Well, in a similar way, while we were blind because of our sin, God has revealed the truth to us. He has revealed the truth to us, that Jesus is the truth. It's why John, earlier in his gospel, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament. Every promise that was ever made that the Messiah is going to come, the servant's going to come, I'm going to save you from his sins, is revealed fully in Jesus. He is the truth. He's the way and he's the truth. So it's not just are we following him, but this is an invitation. Do you trust him as the truth? Do you trust the truth of God's word and everything that Jesus said? Well, we obey Jesus. He is the truth. Everything he said is trustworthy. He will not lie to us. We could choose to go our own way. We could choose to believe whatever truth I want to create. Or we could follow the way and believe and trust the truth. There's true freedom that comes. The truth will set us free. And the good news is the truth is Jesus. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and he's the life. It doesn't mean that Jesus is the life of the party. It doesn't mean he's just the most fun, although I'm guessing he probably is. It means that in Jesus there is eternal life. But the life that Jesus offers us, life in him, life with him, is not something that starts later. It doesn't start when he comes back. It starts today. It starts the moment that you trust in him as the way, the truth, and the life. In that moment, you have life. You have life. And you know where that life will end up. It will end up in eternity with God the Father, where Jesus is right now preparing a place for you. So my question to you is, are you enjoying Jesus as your life? Is he your whole life? Is everything about your life founded and centered in Jesus? It's kind of easy on a day like today, isn't it? Much of the world stops, closes, so that we can celebrate Christmas. I'm always amazed at Christmas specials on TV, the songs that they're singing. They're singing all these beautiful gospel-rich songs. And I wonder, do you understand that he's the way, the truth, and the life? Do you understand what you're singing? In him is life. He is life. Are you enjoying him? Today it may be easy, but tomorrow's coming. 3 months is coming. Something is coming down the road that will cause us to struggle, to find difficulty. But praise God that there is life, that we actually can have eternal life. And it's found in the Son, the baby who we celebrate today, will grow and go to the cross as the way, the truth, and the life. Are you following the way? Are you trusting in the truth? And are you enjoying the life that Jesus has given you? He's everything. He's everything. And praise God that when we had no hope to ever know our Heavenly Father, that God provided the way and the truth and the life. And praise God, when there was no possibility to know him, now there is. But it's only through one person, Jesus, God in the flesh. And it's through him that we can know our Heavenly Father. And if you know him, one day he's going to bring you home. And you will find true and final rest for your souls. That's something that should comfort us. Let's pray. Father, we do give you praise this morning. We praise you for the good news of the gospel, that when there was no way, you provided a way through Jesus, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the only way that anyone comes to know you. I pray this morning that you would help us to embrace and believe the exclusive claim of the gospel. It comes with authority because he is in you and you are in him. So we can trust him. And Father, help us to follow him as the way, to trust in him as the truth, and to enjoy him as our life. Give us great celebration today with family and friends, but help us the rest of this week rejoice in the good news that you're preparing a place for us right now and that Jesus will come back again. We can't wait for that day. Until then, help us to be faithful to Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen.